Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the meeting of Charnwood Council's Cabinet this evening, 12th December 2024. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recording is not under the Council's control. We come to item one, which is apologies. None are received because I think we're all present. Brilliant, thank you. Item two is disclosures of P&G interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. Any members have any interests to declare? Okay, I'm just going to declare that I'm a member of Leicestershire County Council when we talk about the budget. So, thank you. Leaders' announcements, item three, to be stated if any. I don't have any announcements to make. And item four brings us to the minutes of a previous meeting of the 14th of November 2024. Can I have agreement that these are true and accurate records?
Yes.
Cheers, thank you very much. So item five is the questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. We have one question submitted by Councillor Snart, who joins us this evening. Councillor Snart, we can take your question and the answers as read, if you'd like, but you're more than welcome to clarify and amplify. However, if you want to make a supplementary questions on them,
we'll have to... Leader?
Yeah.
Thank you. And I will refer to the parts 1 to 5 in my question in turn. 1. Would the leader confirm that the local planning authority is still at prospective planning applications until September 2025 and possibly beyond? If so, how can communities have confidence in the planning system that grants planning permission without the necessary strategic infrastructure? 2. I note in the reply speculative development is a product of national planning policy that seeks to significantly boost housing supply. Would the leader confirm that speculative development will continue in the borough even after the local plan is adopted? 3. I ask you my question, is the draft local plan fit for purpose? One example I note in the parish of Anstey has already seen an increase of 600 plus dwellings, mostly sites not in the local plan, with a further increase of over 1,000 units coming forward. Whilst there is a delay in the local plan process, is there an opportunity to look at sites within the local plan and adjust to compensate for the large amount of speculative development in certain areas of the borough? I note that these sites for the 600 developments have been granted planning permission with limited improvements to highway infrastructure and local services. 4. At this late stage of the local plan process, it is concerning that the local planning authority is unable to receive the correct amount of contributions for the strategic highway network. In my view, this will cause devastating issues for future generations. I note in the answer it refers to meet the three tests in Regulation 122 of the Community Infrastructure Levy 2010. May I ask, if this was known, why in this late stage of the process the LPA haven't secured the Community Infrastructure Levy? I know this matter is already causing issues with extra traffic from speculative development outside my ward, travelling along the village roads within my ward. Finally, 5. I ask if the leader is confident that the local plan will be adopted in September 2025. I don't seem to have received a direct reply to that question. Perhaps he could explain. May I also ask, what involvement has the leader had with the Leicestershire County Council about the further viability study which is referred to in the answer to my question? Thank you, leader.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Snart. Quite a lot of supplementary questions there. Just a couple of things I wanted to draw to your attention is that the first one, yes, I think a lot of the answers to your supplementary questions are actually in the answers that are being published. However, I will elaborate a little bit. Speculative development, any developer can actually put in a speculative application. It's, you know, they're not constrained by the plan. However, it's up to our officers to determine if that should go ahead or not, depending on the law. So, you know, I think that's been clarified. The second one is about contributions, and I think contributions have been sought, and information has been sought from the County Council. However, some of that information on cumulative impact hasn't been forthcoming, the costing hasn't been forthcoming, and I think we're going to elaborate further. We've got an item on the actual cabinet agenda, so I think there'll be discussions around that at that time. The local plan itself and sites within the plan, well, actually the local plan hasn't changed from since we took over administration, so it is the Conservatives' local plan. So if there are any developments and sites are in there, that's what the Conservative administration previously put into the plan. So if there are sites that you think aren't viable anymore or causing issues, then that discussion should have taken place before actually the Conservative group or the Conservative cabinet at that time put those sites in there. So we've taken over now. What we're trying to do is get this plan through process and get it determined so we can bring it to full council, and then all councillors can then adopt it and, as you say, stop these speculative developments. But I must say, we are, and our office are, working hard to get this plan over the line, and as the agenda item further on will demonstrate, there has been correspondence between us and the County Council, and we're trying to get to a resolution where it's mutually beneficial for both councils. Thank you, Councillor Starr.
Thank you.
Right, brilliant. Thank you very much, Councillor Starr. It brings us now to item six, which is the car parking fees and the Scrutiny Commission report with it. So to help us, we have everyone, I'm sure, Director of Customer Experience, Lee Mansfield, Head of Regulatory and Community Safety, and Carl Harrison, Car Parks and Civil Parking Enforcement Manager, present to assist with the report. Excuse me, sorry. Councillor Batchel, I'll ask you to introduce the report before I go to Councillor Rattray from the Scrutiny Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leader. When we brought this report for the first time in August, they went through scrutiny, we then promised a meaningful consultation, and I believe we have delivered that. I would like to thank the communications officers for managing to get the consultation out to the attention of so many people, and for those people to actually take the time to give a response. So the report actually starts on page 11, but you may want to pay attention to page 19, which is the revised charges, because we did listen and we have made amendments to that. So I'll hand over to Councillor Rattray.
Cheers, thank you very much. Councillor Rattray, would you like to present the Scrutiny Commission report? Thank you.
Yes, of course. Can I just hear me before I start? Because I've had to log on my phone. I just want to be sure that you can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you.
So as Chair of Scrutiny, I can inform Cabinet that the Commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in the report of the Director of Customer Experience. Members were pleased with the consultation response and felt that it demonstrated the need for changes to the original proposal. Members highlighted the officers that listened to the concerns of the public stakeholders of the Scrutiny Commission. Members also thanked officers for their work in undertaking the consultation. The Commission requested clarity that leisure centre users would no longer have a free period of time to use car park facilities. Members suggested that it would be beneficial to monitor the membership numbers of the leisure centre to determine whether the new fee structure has had an impact. The Commission suggested clear signage of car parks would be needed and to highlight short stay and long stay parking. Officers confirmed that this was in hand. Members acknowledged there would be less income generated by the current proposed fees as opposed to the previous. However, car park usage had recently returned close to pre-pandemic levels, which meant that there was an increased income. Members highlighted that the consultation response had been substantial. The consultation had been promoted well, and members felt that the same promotion should be used for other consultations. The Commission was happy with the report and responses given. The Commission was happy to support the report and recommends Cabinet approve the recommendations.
Thank Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Rattray. Cabinet members, any questions for clarification on anything you've heard from Councillor Rattray? No, thank you very much, Councillor Rathbrey. We've got another agenda item, so we'll go to the substantive here now and we'll come back to you for the other item. Thank you. Right, so officers, do you have anything further to add to the report as it is before I go to your questions? Cabinet members, any further questions on the car park and fees report? I'd just like to add my thanks to the officers and also to Scrutiny Commission and also our fellow councillors as well who aren't in Scrutiny Commission but who have come forward and engaged in this car park review. And I think it's been, we haven't reviewed it for 12 years, I believe. So it is something new to officers because they haven't done it. But also it is tough, you know, when you raise car parking charges or proceed to raise car parking charges, there is an interest out there. And I can say, and just reiterate, that we have listened, you know, to the comments made by everybody and the residents. And we will be mindful of the Leisure Centre as well, because we don't want to put that in any jeopardy at all. So we will come back and if there are negative impacts on that car parking, we'll come back and review that for the Leisure Centre. Just wanted to put that on record. So if there's no further questions, I'll pass back to Councillor Petrol.
Thank you, Nina. I too would like to echo my thanks to the officers for working so hard on this and for the work they still have to do in responding to each and every person who was involved in the consultation. So I would like to move the officer recommendations 1 to 2 for reasons 1 to 2 on agenda page 11.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Can I have a seconder, please?
Happy to second, Leader.
Thank you very much. All in favour?
Leader.
Okay, cheers, thank you very much. Excuse me. Item 7 is the Local Development Scheme plus the Scrutiny Commission report. To help us and assist us with this report, we have Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Growth, and Paul Gilding, Principal Planning Officer, present to assist with the report. We've got Councillor Hamilton, who will introduce the report, but I've also got Councillor Rattray, who will present the Scrutiny Commission's report too. So I'll pass over to Councillor Hamilton to start with.
Thank you, Leader. Cabinet members will be aware of the County Cabinet reports on the subject of the local plan and the further letters that have been exchanged between the two organisations on the subject. This report seeks Cabinet approval to prepare a community infrastructure levy and to amend the local development scheme. The decision will enable officers to respond formally to the latest communications with the Planning Inspectorate following consultation and the main modifications in the summer. So, can I invite the Head of Planning and Growth to help us with the background to the item and to run through the key points?
Yeah, we'll do. Before I go to Richard, I'm going to go to Councillor Rattray to present the Scrutiny Commission's report, and then we'll come back to yourself, Richard. Councillor Rattray, over to yourself, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. So, as Chair of Scrutiny, I can inform Cabinet that the Commission welcomes and supports the recommendations set out in our report Head of Planning and Growth. During this discussion, the Commission asked a number of questions of clarity. The lead officer confirmed that the SIL would apply to all developments within its scope, and it was the Council to decide the scope. It was confirmed that Section 106 legal agreements would continue to be used for most infrastructure needs, doctor surgeries, open spaces, etc. The SIL would be used to fund high-level strategic infrastructure. The Inspector had requested further viability evidence for use of SIL. Members raised concerns about infrastructure not being delivered at appropriate times on current developments, which leads to public concern around development. The lead officer confirmed that development trajectory required infrastructure of all types to be delivered at the appropriate trigger points in the build-out, that it would become necessary, for example, it would not be appropriate to build a school before it was needed. The Commission were informed of all the history behind the reason for the SIL and agreed that this was the best course of action for us as a Council moving forward. The Commission have carefully considered and asked questions on the report and feel the Cabinet should approve the recommendations set out.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Rattray. Cabinet members, any questions of clarity to Councillor Rattray? Thank you very much, Councillor Rattray, and at this point I'll just thank you and your fellow Scrutiny Commissioners for two excellent reports actually and good debate in the meetings as well, but thank you very much for that. I'll now move to Richard. Richard, would you have anything further to add to the report?
Yes, thank you, Leader. Cabinet members will recall that the draft local plan sets out a framework to secure strategic transport contributions under Section 106 of the Planning Act. And this approach has been the joint position of the Borough and the County Council throughout the preparation of the local plan actually. And to strengthen this approach, the County Council, working with the borough, specifically modified policies INF1 and INF2 through the examination hearings in February 2024. Now, because of the length of the examination process so far and the amount of housing that's coming forward before the local plan's adoption and to maintain supply, the County Council considers that it must seek contributions towards strategic level transport mitigation in the interim from planning applications to minimise the amount of public subsidy that may be required. Members may wish to note that the cost of mitigating this strategic level of transport impacts has actually increased during the local plan process, it having been around £55 million at the submission in December 2021 and now rising to around £200 million as of the February hearings 2024. In terms of the principle of using Section 106 legal agreements to secure developer contributions, that as a mechanism is long established actually, and members will have seen us using those in Plans Committee to secure infrastructure. What it requires is consultees like the County Council to make requests for infrastructure supported with evidence, importantly, through the formal consultation process on planning applications. This is the same requirement whether there is a local plan in place or not, actually. These requests, when they're made, are assessed against the legal tests in the SIL regulations that they are necessary to make the development acceptable in planning terms directly related to the development and fairly and reasonably related in scale and kind to the development. So they are the three tests. So while the County Council has so far successfully demonstrated that site-specific mitigation for transport meets those tests, they have been unable to demonstrate how individual sites should proportionately contribute to the mitigation package to address cumulative impacts of local plan growth on strategic transport infrastructure. There's an important distinction there. You know, individual sites, they are, the mitigation is being secured for that. It's the contribution towards the plan level infrastructure that has been the problem in transport terms. Members may also be aware that an attempt by the County Council to secure strategic level transport infrastructure this summer using their draft transport contribution strategy was met with opposition by the development industry through consultation. Officers at that time invited them to reconsider their formal requests on planning applications to demonstrate compliance with those three tests and in the context of the draft local plan policies INF1 and INF2, but they declined to do so and instead they withdrew their requests, and four residential planning applications were heard by Plans Committee in October without requests for that strategic infrastructure. At the time, the Borough Council were advised by Council that the planning application should be determined without strategic level contributions to avoid an appeal situation that we couldn't defend. The issue has caused significant delay in the processing of major residential planning applications, with risks of appeals against non-determination and cost applications from applicants. But it's now delaying the local plan process as it has brought uncertainty about the effectiveness of the delivery mechanism to secure strategic transport infrastructure in the local plan. Actually, both councils have expressed the view that it's better to have a local plan to guide future development than no plan at all. There's no disagreement there, and both councils are committed to working together to progress the local plan to adoption. And furthermore, members will see from the County Cabinet reports that County are committed to working with the Borough Council to progress the local plan and the Community Infrastructure Levy. And in particular, Resolution 3H from the 22nd of November County report confirms that the County Council will support the Borough Council to develop the further evidence required by the inspectors at pace, that it will participate in the development and implementation of a SIL charging schedule and seek to influence its adoption as soon as possible. And it will seek to mitigate the impacts arising from potential further delays to the adoption of the local plan. And furthermore, will support the development of skills and knowledge on infrastructure delivery across Leicestershire, so wider partnership working. And all of those things are very welcome. As you know, the County Council has continued to correspond with the Borough Council since the last Cabinet report in November, and members may also be aware that a further report is on the County Council agenda for their next meeting on the 17th of December to consider the decision that members will take this evening. That brings us up to date. Given where we are in terms of the local plan and what's happened, the report for you tonight indicates that a community infrastructure levy is now the most appropriate mechanism to secure strategic transport infrastructure contributions. It's now considered necessary because the County Council has so far been unable to demonstrate how that strategic level infrastructure can otherwise be secured under Section 106 of the Planning Act through the development management process. So there is therefore a need now to provide certainty to the inspectors that there is an effective delivery mechanism to demonstrate the plan is sound. In the interim, while the local plan is progressing, officers will continue to engage with the County Council to encourage them to refine and articulate their evidence so they can make effective formal requests for this strategic level infrastructure on planning applications using Section 106 of the Planning Act. It is a delivery mechanism that can work. Any funding that is secured under Section 106 may well be pooled together with any SIL receipts in future, so it is a worthwhile endeavour and something that we'll be encouraging them to do. Whilst preparing the community infrastructure levy will now delay the adoption of the local plan while the inspectors test the further viability evidence that's necessary. That's regrettable, but it is anticipated now that the plan will be adopted in the summer of 2025 rather than in January this year, so it is a delay. The community infrastructure levy will be adopted by the end of 2025, or sooner if we can do it. The report then sets out some of the details of how a community infrastructure levy operates, and then sets out a revised programme in the local development scheme for the preparation of the final preparation of the local plan, and also that community infrastructure levy, and revised timescales for consequential amendments to the supplementary planning documents, which provide the further detail to policies in the local plan. And that is the report, Chair.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Richard. Laura, before we continue, can you just put my declaration of interest on that item as well? Hearing the number of times the County Council have mentioned, I thought I'd better. Thank you very much, Richard. At Cabinet members, it clearly demonstrates the reasons why we're looking at a SIL now. It's a mechanism going forward that we want to make sure that we can get those contributions from the developers in absence of the cumulative figures coming from the County Council. And I think we've been told in no uncertain terms that, you know, we need to get this plan across. We've had questions to Council, but also to Cabinet today regarding the delay in the plan. But we are doing our best to get it forward. So is there any further questions from anybody for Richard or any of the officers regarding our local plan and this piece of paper? If not, I'll hand back to Councillor Hamilton.
Okay. The only comments I want to make is we recognise that there remain disagreements with the County Council on how to treat current planning applications. It does seem that both councils are broadly in agreement that a community infrastructure levy is now the best way forward. So we have discussed the issues raised by the County Council in their Cabinet reports and letters, and I remain satisfied that we are responding appropriately and following the legal advice. So I hope that the County Council will re-engage with the process promptly and work collaboratively with us to respond to the inspector's request and to progress community infrastructure levy.
Councillor, before you go to the proposal, I agree we need to move beyond this current impasse with Leicestershire County Council and for our officers involved from both councils to work towards responding to the inspector and preparing a SIL. In the meantime, we will continue to support the County Council in securing developer contributions. I don't think we ever said we wouldn't. It remains the case that we will need to produce the evidence that to meet the SIL contributions and requirements. We will send the County Council a copy of these minutes to confirm our decisions on a SIL, so they're clear that we have been informed by our officers and that we have taken this decision on an informed basis.
Okay, well, can I simply move officer recommendations 1 to 4 for the reasons of 1 to 4 on the agenda?
Cheers, thank you very much, Councillor. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you very much. All in favour?
Is everyone in there?
Cheers, thank you very much. We now move on to item 8, which is the draft general fund and HRA 2025-26 budgets. With us, we have Simon Jackson, Director of Finance, Governance and Contracts, and Neil Whittle, Head of Finance, present to assist with the report. And we'll pass over to lead member, Councillor Ashcroft, to introduce the report, and then we'll come on to the next.
Okay, thank you, Leader. I'll make a short introduction. So, this report presents the draft budgets for the General Fund and HRA revenue accounts for 2025-26. In terms of the General Fund, you can see that we're continuing our stated strategy of reducing the structural deficit over the life of the Council whilst retaining or enhancing our levels of service. Features of the General Fund budget include use of the working balance of 295k. So this is less than we had on the MTFO, so we've been working on reducing use of the working balance, and this is acceptable given our higher than originally budgeted starting point, given the positive outturn for 2023-24 to the tune of about £1 million. We also note that there's an allocation of additional 75k in this year in community grants, and this is to help community groups working with residents struggling with the cost of living. Another point to note is that there was considerable uncertainty when putting this budget together. This was particularly in the financial settlement details, which we're still waiting for, food waste costs and income from extended producer responsibility. We now have got slightly better visibility on some of those, and obviously they will go into the updated budget when we manage to calculate those. And I want to thank basically Simon and Neil for working with this uncertainty, with the need that we have to go back and plug the numbers in again to deal with these issues once we know what the actual amounts are going to be. In terms of the HRA, the budget assumes a deficit of £1.184 million in 2025-26. And as noted in the report, the HRA is facing financial pressures due to a number of effects. This includes the delivery of repairs and maintenance to comply with legislation, rent loss due to voids, and the costs to repair voids to enable them to be rented. So budget increases have been needed to address these challenges. However, it is hoped that this investment will significantly reduce rent loss due to voids in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Councillor Ashcroft. Officer, anything further to add to the report?
Just a couple of brief comments. So, as Councillor Ashcroft said, we've got more visibility. I think we are expecting what's known as a draft financial settlement sometime next week. I think it's got to be by Thursday, and Thursday's, I believe, the favourite, but sometime next week we'll get more detail. But we have got a little bit more detail. We have got some more visibility. I won't go through all the individual components, but swings and roundabouts, so we've potentially done better on the extended producer responsibility income, less well on maybe the compensation we're due for that, mainly due to a restriction on the capital that we're going to receive. So there are various swings and roundabouts. Having looked at it, I believe that we will be somewhere actually close to the numbers that we have in the draft budget on a net basis. So when I say close, probably £250,000 either way would be close in this sort of context, but that's the sort of level than I'm expecting. So hopefully that's okay. Just a couple of other features to mention. We spoke about SIL in the last item, so there's an amount of £250,000 that will be set aside as a reserve to draw down upon. With my finance hat on, I'd like to think that was plenty, but clearly, as we've heard, this is quite a complicated process. So if we need to provide additional resources, then they will have to be found. And the other thing, just I don't think Councillor Ashcroft mentioned reserves, but projected reserves are £6.3 million for the general fund as of 31st March 2026, and £1.5 million for the HRA. So the HRA, that's in line with the minimum balance assessed by me as Section 151 officer under. The 6.3 is well above the minimum £3 million balance on the general fund. So I think that sort of demonstrates financial sustainability of the council, at least in the reasonably medium term.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Neil. Anything further to add?
No.
Any questions on the budget or the draft budget at all? I just want to say I welcome the draft budget, and there's a lot of uncertainty because the new government's coming in and there are new proposals coming forward, and I think all councils are in the same boat. However, I did sit in with some webinars with Jim McMahon when they were explaining the budget, and there seems to be a lot more money coming into local government. Whether we as Charnwood will get all of that money or some of that money, we wait for the financial settlement to come, but it is positive that we have finally a government that is actually wanting to invest in local government by providing us the money and the means to. Obviously next year it may be a bit different because they're looking at longer term settlements, so we will wait for that announcement to be made. And this week's a busy week. MPPF today, probably devolution on Monday, and then the financial settlement probably on Wednesday or Thursday. So a busy 7 days ahead of us. But yeah, I just wanted to add that to that. Anything further? If not, I'll hand back to Councillor Ashcroft.
Okay, so I've not got anything to add, so I just want to move the officer recommendations 1 and 2 for reasons 1 and 2 on agenda page 52.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you very much, Councillor Latchell. All in favour?
Is everyone leader?
Cheers, thank you very much. We now move to item 9, which is the Capital Plan Amendment Report. To assist with us, we have Simon Jackson, Director of Finance, Governance and Contracts, and Neil Whitfield, Head of Finance. And then I'll hand over to Councillor Ashcroft, the lead member, to introduce the report.
Okay, thanks, Leader. So the Capital Plan Amendment Report details changes to the Capital Plan for 24-25, as well as providing updated budgets for 25-26 and 26-27. The changes for 24-25 are summarised in Section 2 of the main report, which is on page 80, and then this follows a description of what the new and amended schemes are. There's also further details in the appendices to the main report.
Cheers, thank you very much, Councillor Ashcroft. Anything further to add from our officers?
Hopefully the report is reasonably self-explanatory. I just note some of these recommendations will need to go to Council for approval, but I'm happy with any questions that whether Neil wants to add.
Nothing further from me.
No, that's fine. Any questions from Cabinet members on the report? No? Back to yourself, Councillor Ashcroft.
Okay, so I'd just like to move officer recommendations 1 to 8, for reasons 1 to 8, on agenda pages 77 to 78.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you very much, Councillor Roy. All in favour?
Is everybody leader?
Cheers, thank you. Item 10 is the internal audit plan progress. We have with us Simon Jackson, Director of Finance, Governance and Contracts, to assist with the report, and Peter Oliver on our screen as well, Director of Housing, I believe, to assist with the report as well. But we also have with us our Chair of our Audit Committee, Jane Nennis. Welcome, Jane, to present the Audit Committee's report. So, Jane, just so for clarity, I don't know if you know everybody in Cabinet, but we're all here today. So we'll just hand over to yourself first to present the report, and then we can ask any questions of clarity to yourself, and then I'll go to our officers to respond. Okay, if that's okay with yourself?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Good to meet you all. I'm the chair of the audit report, and at the audit committee on the 22nd of October, we had a few concerns about the internal audit report and progress and some of the audits that have been undertaken. And this is really just to update you on the position and make you aware of it. In particular, the things that we were concerned about were changes to the audit plan with some IT these potentially had impact on strategic risk one, business continuity. We also had concerns about responsive repair contract management being given limited assurance, and in general about the number of outstanding recommendations and the lack of response we have been getting from officers, and all of the outstanding ones around housing, which I guess is why Peter's here to talk about some of those. We know that we did get some responses to them after the meeting, but it's really just to let you be aware of the situation.
Jane, thank you very much for that. I'm going to move to cabinet members. Any questions of clarity at all on what's been presented? If not, I'll go to our officers for any points of clarification or any comments on that.
Maybe it's worth just there's some specifics about housing, so maybe it's worth getting Pete to just respond on some of the detail initially, and then I'll maybe comment generally.
Thanks very much. Peter, over to yourself.
Thank you, Leo. So it brings us to responsive prepared processes, including the progression and completion of audit actions currently being managed as a corporate project, and that's overseen by the Council's Housing and Communities Board. That project is currently supported by the Council's Transformation and Improvement Team. The two outstanding actions specified in the report of the Audit Committee relate to the documentation of repairs processes and the subsequent training of staff. The former has been complex. It's not just been a case of kind of writing up procedures that reflect existing practice. There's been a need to define new processes and problem solve a range of issues, including IT issues. But that those processes are expected to be substantively completed this month. Training will be delivered in the new year by the February 2025 target date.
Cheers, Peter, thank you very much. Jane, I think we've had a response there on the queries. If there's any outstanding queries, I'll get the officers to write back to the audit committee if there's anything that you feel that we haven't covered off today. If that's the case, then I'm just going to move to recommendations and reasons on agenda page 91. Oh, sorry. Simon, apologies, Jane. Simon, I think, wants to cover you.
Well, just a couple of general points, Leader, yeah. if I may. So, first of all, I think there are some tensions in this, but you know, our heads of service and directors, and heads of service in particular, who a lot of the responses fall on, have a lot of competing priorities. So in their day jobs, there are a lot of things that happen. So there are sort of ongoing priorities and events. So these things do happen. I think one thing we have found is that we've responded to the audit recommendations and agreed that we would do something, and then having looked at what we've agreed to do, found that it's a lot more complex due to sort of various IT or business process issues that were sort of hadn't been surfaced until we started looking and trying to address the recommendations. So they are the sort of excuses. I will say though, internal audit is a key part of our internal controls, it's part of our annual governance statement, so this is absolutely something we need to get right. So amongst all the other priorities, we definitely need to focus on this. I think we are having a look at it as a senior leadership team. We have regular reports. I think we obviously need to try harder and work out how we prioritise this, get and improve this situation as it's come to this, as the audit committee have seen fit to bring it to cabinet, which is, you know, an unfortunate and disappointing situation, quite frankly. So, you know, there are lots of priorities. It's not necessarily that easy to respond to all the audit recommendations, but I think as a senior leadership team, we do recognise its importance and the sort of contribution of internal audit and the need to get this right amongst the sort of overall governance of the council, which generally I would say is pretty effective, but we certainly need to keep that and address this issue.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon. Sorry, apologies for missing that. Let's forget. Cabinet members, any questions on the report we've had or anything that you've heard from the offices or from Jane, in fact? If not, I'm going to move recommendations. Actually, firstly, I'll thank Jane. Jane, thank you very much for presenting the audit committee's report, and hopefully the officer's responses back to yourself have been reassuring. And please, any time you need to highlight anything, do let us know. And we will respond to make sure that things do get done and do get covered off in a timely manner. I can understand in local government things do get delayed. In this council, some things might get delayed and overlooked, but that's not the intention. So sometimes if we miss something, do let us know. But thank you very much for all that. So,
thank you.
So I will move recommendations and reasons on agenda page 91. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Chancellor Ashcroft. All in favour? Cheers, thank you very much. We now move to item 11, which is the extension of security contract for DWP lease at Southfields. With us, we have Justin Henry, Director of Commercial and Economic Development, present to assist with the report. I'll move to Councillor Ashcroft to introduce the report, and then we can go to any questions.
Okay, thank you. So in this report, Cabinet is being asked to delegate authority to the Director of Commercial and Economic Development, Justin, to sign a contract extension for the provision of security services. It's noted in the report that this is a requirement of the lease agreed with the Department for Work and Pension, and that the cost is fully chargeable to DWP as the tenant.
Cheers, thank you very much, Councillor Ashcroft. Justin, did you want to come in with any further clarification or anything to add, anything further?
Thank you, Leader. It is rather perfunctory, and that's because it is. The reason it's being brought to Cabinet at this point is that there is perhaps a gap in governance that we will need to amend at some point moving forward. But of course, in order to maintain good decision making, we need an authority that's not currently vested in officers to go ahead and renew this contract. As Councillor Ashcroft has said, it is fully rechargeable to the DWP. There is no impact on general fund budgets. So just a quick explainer on why we're here.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Justin. Cabinet members, any questions on the agenda item or the report? If not, I'll hand back to Councillor Ashcroft.
Okay, thank you, Leader. So I'd just like to move the officer recommendation and reason on agenda page 115.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you very much, Councillor Clipson. All in favour?
Everybody, Leader.
Brilliant. Thank you. And that concludes our meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.